exciting to see what the Lord has brought us from, is currently doing, but man, we're even more fired up about what he's going to do in the future. We serve a big God. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. You guys stay with me. You're not going to scare me if you give me an amen once in a while, a hallelujah, or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Okay, but Caleb mentioned we had 38 saved during our summer programming. We also had 22 more saved during our fall and winter programs. So we had a total of 60 souls accept the Lord Jesus Christ in 2023. And so we are so excited about that. We are so thankful that the Lord has been faithful to our ministry. And a lot of times in ministry, you're not always able to see fruit. You know, a lot of folks plant seeds, and some plant seeds, some water the seeds, and some see fruit. I'm so thankful. Last year, we were able to do all three. We planted some seeds, we watered some seeds, and thank God we saw some fruit. So we are so thankful for that. But let me say like Caleb did, thank you so much for letting us be with you tonight. Pastor Oaks, thank you so much for the opportunity. We never take for granted being able to stand behind a pastor's pulpit. And so we do want to be respectful of your time. We'll cut that 2.5 hour time frame that Pastor said. We'll cut that down a big chunk for you guys tonight. And I don't have anything deep, just some simple thoughts. Something that'd be practical is what kind of the Lord laid on my heart to share tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Looking at verses 13 and 14. And if you're able to stand, we'd ask you to do that in reverence to God's word. Looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So if I were to give my thoughts tonight a title or name it, I would call this thought a recipe for success. A recipe for success. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your word is timeless. Thank you, it's just alive today as it was when Paul penned these words. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to meet with us tonight. Let the Holy Spirit be present. May we honor you in all that we say and do, and we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You can be seated. Now, like most ladies, or a lot of ladies, my wife and my mother are often busy in the kitchen. And especially during holiday seasons or a special day of the year. So for meals to be prepared, for cakes to be made, for goodies to be presented, you know, maybe your favorite holiday food to be cooked, for it to taste good, of course it takes the right ingredients. So if you're looking for an ingredient for a cake, so to speak, and it calls for eggs and milk, and you go to the refrigerator and you got syrup and dill pickles, your recipe's not going to come out too well. So my thought tonight is some basic ingredients to have a successful spiritual walk. And so I'll give you those four quick ingredients, and we'll move on. But a recipe for success. So number one, plan with a purpose. It's important to have a plan in life. You know, a lot of people, especially a lot of young folks we deal with, they kind of just wander through life. They don't really have a plan. They don't have a goal. They're not sure where they're headed. They're not sure how to get to what they want. So it's important to plan and have a purpose. Now, I am living proof that my wife and my mom are good cooks. That shows. That's pretty evident. But my mom actually collects cookbooks. She saved them for years. And she's here tonight, which is a treat for us. But when she has free time, you know what she does? She reads cookbooks. When I have free time, I eat what she cooks. But my point is, when she needs a recipe, she knows right where to go. She goes to her books. And maybe some of you see where I'm headed here. When we need instruction, when we need guidance, when we need direction for our life, When we need to make big decisions, you know where we need to go? We need to go to the book. Amen. Amen. God's word. Let me tell you, it teaches us right from wrong. It guides, it directs. It's good for reproof and instruction. It will correct you. It'll teach you. It'll get on your toes sometimes, which is what we need. But it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It points us towards the plan of salvation. Amen. It takes us to the cross of Calvary, and it shows us God's love for each and every one of us. And I'm so glad that God's plan is simple. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever will. I'm glad that there's not a bunch of conditions placed on that, or I'd probably be disqualified. But for whosoever will. And I'm glad God doesn't discriminate based on color or intelligence or money. Thank God he loves us all. He loves us all. And so our life must have that same ingredient of God's plan of salvation. That single ingredient is Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing more and nothing less than Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And listen, church, God's recipe for salvation, it doesn't call for Muhammad or Buddha or Scientology. Those are not the right ingredients for true salvation. Amen? Now, that may not be popular today, but sometimes the truth still needs to be told, even when it's not popular. And Christ is the only way to the Father. Christ is your only way to heaven. Amen. So we see our first ingredient for success in all of our lives must be the Lord Jesus Christ must be present in your life. Amen. So second ingredient, prepare with prayer. Caleb was mentioned being out in California. And when we were out there last year, a fella born in the Philippines, his family migrated over. We did some Bible studies and different things with him. But he was saved at an early age, and he's probably in his mid-20s now. And he talks with a heavy Filipino accent. But he would say to me, Jesus is my treasure, and I pray unto him. And prayer was a big deal to him. He got to talk to Jesus. And I thought, boy, if we all would just take that attitude of how important, what a blessing it is to be able to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray through him, and he's interceding on our behalf to God the Father. Wow, if we could just grab hold of that. But we all know that life is fragile. I saw a t-shirt that says, life is fragile, handle with prayer. And that's great advice. We all know life can hurt. Circumstances can be tough. Things happen every day that we just don't totally understand. And for Christians here today, aren't you glad that we've got somebody we can turn to? We got somebody we can lean on. Somebody we can talk to, somebody we can share with. Listen, and I love that the Lord cares enough to hear our cries. He hears our petitions. Someone we can go to any time of day or night. The thought just popped in my mind. Garrett just had a song that just came out on Christian radio, but it's called Dear Heavenly Father. And one of the lines in that song says, Lord, it's 2 a.m. and it's me again. But you know what? At 2 a.m., he's listening just as he would at 5 p.m. or 8 p.m. or 10 p.m. Thank God we could go to him anytime, day or night. And you wonder what people do when they don't have the Lord to turn to. But prayer is our direct line to the Heavenly Father's ear. Psalm 17:6, I love how God's scripture, sometimes it paints us pictures. And in this verse, it paints a beautiful picture. It says, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Psalm 116:2 says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now, in Hebrew, that word for incline is kwashab, which means literally to intently pay attention to. And it draws a picture of someone cupping their hand over their ear and listening just as intently as they can. That's how God is listening for the cries of his children. And I can say glory to that tonight. A few years back, the boys were at college. They both went to Welch College there in Nashville. And Welch shows the basketball games online. And there was a timeout. And when there's a timeout, the camera kind of pans to a banner that just says Welch College. And so, you know, you could hear the shuffling and all the noise in the gym, but all you could see was that banner. And so we hear voices and the noises going on. And Deb, my wife, says, "I hear Garrett." And I'm like, "Well, I hear something. I don't know what I hear." But the camera flashes back to the court. Boom. And there's Garrett right in front of where the camera's at. You see, Mom recognized her boy's voice. And I thought, most parents can recognize the voices of their children. But thank God the Good Shepherd knows the voice of every one of his sheep this evening. Amen. And I'm so glad for that. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." I'm glad he cares and he knows and he hears and he sees and he wants to be active in all of our lives. The issue isn't God hearing us or seeing us. The issue is us taking time to listening to God and to hearing his voice and following his commands. Listen, when something goes wrong, we cry out and he hears us and he answers. But then when all is well, he still wants to hear us. And sometimes when things are good, we fail to talk to him. We fail to call on him. When distress and hard times come, boy, we're all about calling out. But he wants to hear from us all the time, not just in times of trouble. And I thought, and I'm guilty of this too, that phone is in my hand way too often. But I thought, what have we spent more time in this week? Have we spent more time with that phone in our hand or on our ear? Or have we spent more time talking to the Lord and digging in his word? And I'm guilty. But listen, there is an unlimited heavenly plan I'd like to tell you about. And we can communicate nonstop with the Lord. So we should keep that mindset of prayer and an attitude of staying in contact with our Heavenly Father. Scripture says to pray without ceasing. And I think many Christians fail to find the treasure of prayer time with the Lord. But James tells us many times we have not because we ask not. It's our own fault sometimes, the circumstance that we fall into. Listen, share with the Lord your dreams, your struggles, your fears. Fellowship with him. He longs for that fellowship with his children. Tap into that power of prayer. Who better to share your daily routine with, your thoughts with, than the one who controls the universe? Amen. Sometimes we tell everybody about our troubles except the one who can actually do something about it. You know, share with him. Share with him. Third ingredient, and we're moving quickly. Proceed positively. Proceed positively. Life has a way of throwing curveballs. What we anticipate isn't always what happens or what we get. Even so, as Christians, I really do believe we should be the happiest people group on earth. If anybody has something to smile about, it's us. Those that have been saved and those that are on our way to heaven. As the brother mentioned earlier, we can endure some things down here knowing that there's a payday ahead. There's a reward waiting for us if we're faithful to him. Amen. We are on the winning side. Somebody said that as well. Thank God we are. But sometimes we forget that. Let's get back to that mindset. I'm a winner. I'm a winner through Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you can't be happy unless everything is perfect every day of the year, you're going to have a long go of it. You're going to have a long go of it. But Christians should make things better. We should make things brighter. Why? Scripture tells us we are salt and we are light. Let's be that. Let's be that. We should intentionally live that way. And I think sometimes we let our mindset slip away to places it shouldn't be. But we can be salt, we can be light, and we're called to do so. We're called to make a difference. And listen, God gives us all different abilities, different talents, different callings, different things that we can use for his honor and for his glory. Some things may be behind the scene that nobody else ever sees. Some folks have talents that are out in the spotlight. But listen, they are all important in God's grand design. I can't reach who you can reach. You can't reach those that maybe I can reach. I can't influence those you can, and vice versa. But we all have something that we can do for the Lord. And listen, there are unlimited areas within the Christian walk to find a place to serve or to find a place to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty sure everyone's familiar with the JFK quote. "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Now, if we change that around a little bit and said, my fellow Christians, don't just ask what the Lord can do for you. Ask, Lord, what can I do for you? Amen? And there's ways we can serve him, and there's so much to be done to build God's kingdom. There's something for everyone to do. Understand, we're not saved by our works. That's not what I'm saying. But a healthy Christian, you know what they'll have? They'll have some fruit and works present in their life. Amen? So a spiritually healthy Christian should see things that others don't. Listen, they will believe. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? I like to have that mindset of seeing things as if they've already happened. God kind of lays some things on our heart, and Caleb is a big vision guy, but to see things as if they've already happened. We're on kind of a year two plan of the remodel at the retreat center at the former youth camp of about a 4 or 5 year plan. But I can see that thing already in my mind complete and being used to its full potential to honor the Lord. I can see that. I can see that. Some say seeing is believing, but with God, believing is seeing. Amen? Because he can get things done we could never do on our own. But many Christians no longer walk by faith. Sadly, many churches no longer walk by faith. If it can't be worked out in their mind, or if they can't make it come up to what they think on paper, then it must not be of God. But let me tell you, faith plays a role in the Christian walk and in the Christian life. Amen? Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our way is not his way. But if God is in it, he will make a way. Amen? Many miss out on things in life because they fail to believe. They fail to trust. They limit what God can do in their lives. Matthew 13:58, perfect example. And this is Jesus speaking. And the scripture says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief kept Jesus from doing some great works there. Let me ask you, are you keeping Jesus from doing any great works in your life because maybe you don't believe it? Or maybe you believe he can do it, but you really haven't grabbed hold of he can do it and he will do it. Listen, God is just waiting to be active in our lives. And he is well able to take care of all we need. Think about this thought. We can never pray a prayer that our God can't handle. Amen. Now, we don't always get the results that we think maybe we need or that, but I'm thankful that our God is on the throne and he's in control. And with his providence, he makes the right decision and he does all things well. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have sufficiency in all things, and you may abound to every good work. Listen, if we lay our life on the altar of sacrifice for the Lord, he's going to provide for our needs. Amen? And I can say that because I've seen him do it in my own life. Amen? Sometimes it don't add up on paper, or sometimes we don't see a way. But God can shine through. God can shine through. And I hate talking to people who downsize what God does or what God can do. They downsize, they belittle faith. And you can take a look at me. I'm a super-size, biggie-size-it kind of guy. But you know what? I serve a biggie-size, super-size kind of God. And he can provide abundantly more than we can even imagine. Spiritually healthy Christians will say things most people won't say. They will speak encouragement. Don't you love to be around somebody that's an encouragement? A Barnabas, someone who lifts your spirit. Amen. They intentionally encourage. They choose to lift up and see positive instead of tearing down and spreading negative. They say things most people won't say. They speak up and they often speak out. But it's to encourage. I used to meet a preacher friend every Monday morning at a Flying J, a truck stop. You say, well, that's a real spiritual place to meet. Well, listen, it was when we were there together. But we would go back into like the lounge part where the truckers could go when they were gassing up or cleaning up or whatever. We'd go back into that lounge. They had some setting areas, some tables, some lounge type of area. But we'd go back there. We'd read some scripture. We'd pray. We'd talk. And before we'd leave, we'd always stand to our feet, and he would pray for me for the rest of the week. And let me tell you, he was from the Caribbean. He was from one of the island countries. Heavy accent, but a genuine man of God. And he would pray. And let me tell you, he wouldn't pray quietly. He prayed out loud, and he prayed boldly for me. And before we got out of that trucker's lounge, there wasn't a trucker in there who didn't know what we believed and what we were about while we were standing in that trucker's lounge. But he would pray, and he would share the gospel while he's praying, and that's what I like. Not only was he praying for me, he was praying for the folks around us, listening in. But I thought, Lord, I love that. I love his boldness in sharing the gospel. He doesn't care who's in there. He doesn't care what people think. I got another preacher buddy, too, in Hayesville, North Carolina. I think Walmart is his favorite place to go pray. He prays, and he'll pray it down in Walmart. You got to love it. You got to love it. But we all should have a boldness about us to proclaim truth and to proclaim Jesus Christ, regardless of who's around us and who's not. Don't be ashamed to pray out loud. Don't ever be embarrassed to speak Jesus and to speak truth. If God provides an opportunity to witness, do that. Share your faith. And as you stand for the Lord more and more and make it a habit in your life, and this is part of our training we do with young people, as you do it more and more, does it ever become easy? I'd say no, it's still tough at times, but it becomes easier. And I like to tell young folks, become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Does that make sense? But sometimes things are tough. But man, it's worth it if we just step out in faith, especially when it comes to sharing our faith. But a spiritually healthy Christian will not only see things others don't see, they'll say things others won't say, they're going to do things that others don't do. We should use our time, our talent, and our treasure for the Lord. Far too many people are indifferent to things around them. We're called to make a difference. We should be leaving a mark for Christ Jesus. Too many Christians are satisfied with splashing around in a little kiddie pool when God's calling us out to deep waters to do some real work for him. Amen? And unfortunately, that's the mindset. Well, we don't want to make waves. We don't want to do something that we can't handle. Listen, the Lord says, pray bold prayers. Do hard things. And that's what we try to do in our ministry. He's looking for some Daniels who's not afraid of the lion's den. You know, he's not going to jump in there just to jump in with a line. But if he gets put there, that's all right. God's going to take care of him. We need some more Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednegoes that aren't afraid to be in the fiery furnace. He's looking for somebody that's willing, that gives of their time and gives them of their self. Let me ask you, do you have that kind of faith in your life? You know, and at times, I can be honest, sometimes I don't know if my faith would get me into the lion's den or put me through the fiery furnace. But you know what? That's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm working towards. And I think I've been in some of those spots, and I can tell you he's faithful. He's faithful. So our recipe for success, plan with a purpose, prepare with prayer, proceed positively. Fourth and final ingredient, pursue with persistence. Sometimes we just got to be persistent. Sometimes we got to hang on. Sometimes we got to fight through certain things in life. And the Christian life, it's not pictured as a sprint. Brother, it's pictured as a marathon, a long-distance run. And this is a long race that he puts us in. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Amen. I think of the comparison of the people of Israel entering into the promised land to us entering a new year. We're still relatively in a new year. We're just into March. They didn't enter the promised land unopposed. There's giants in that land. There's some tough things they had to do. No doubt many of us are going to face giants and hard things, challenges in 2024. Now, we did a trip to Israel a few years back. I was blessed to be able to go. But you know what the promised land is? It's a land of mountains and valleys and deserts. There's some rough areas in the promised land. Listen, 2024 may hold some of those valleys, deserts, and hard spots for us in our lives as well. But you know what I've learned? Mountains help increase our vision and bolster our faith. Deserts represents the times we must push through. Valleys are where we grow and we gain strength. So we serve the God of all three of those types of challenges: mountains, desert, valleys. And the promised land was not the perfect land, but it held God's promises for those people. Listen, life's not going to be perfect, but it holds God's promises for us individually. Amen? And so 2024 may have some battles for you. Stay faithful. Stay in the fight. Be persistent. I like the saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. Amen? He deserves our diligence. He deserves our effort and our loyalty. One of the saddest things of Christians today, and we see that, we get to go all over the country, but we see a lack of commitment to their faith or to serve in the Lord. Listen, let me encourage you tonight. Stay active. Stay in the fight. When it gets tough, I know it hurt, and I know it's hard sometimes, but hang in there. Hang in there. Sometimes my old pastor used to say, sometimes you got to get the rope, tie a knot in the end of it, and just hang on, brother. Just hang on. And sometimes in life, trials are like that. J.P. Morgan, a big financial guru guy, he said this: decide you're not going to stay where you are. You don't have to see the whole staircase to take the first step. And I can say amen to that. The beauty of it all, God's mercies are new each and every day. Oh, and I rely on that. I rely on that. But each morning, each day, we get to wipe the slate clean and work for the Lord again on that new day. You know, each day a clean piece of paper, and we can write on it with our life how we want to serve the Lord, the way we want to live, the way we choose to serve. So the recipe for success, one more time: plan with a purpose, prepare with prayer, proceed positively, and pursue with persistence. Lord, help us all to put these things into practice in our daily lives. Let me ask you again, is Jesus the main ingredient in your life? He has to be. He has to be. That's the whole start of the recipe. So if you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you've never accepted him, I can't think of a better time. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Maybe you're here, maybe the devil's knocked you around, knocked the wind out of you lately. Maybe you're struggling. Let me encourage you. God knows right where you are, and he cares. And he cares. And I can't think of a better place than to bring our troubles, our trials, our hurts, than to this altar and leave it at the feet of a caring Savior. Some in here may have loved ones that stand in the need of prayer. Again, not a better place that I know of than to bring your loved ones to the Lord than these altars here. One thing I like to tell all of our groups, all of our students, all the folks that come through our trips and some of our programs, and it's this, and I like to live with this attitude: I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I will do for the glory of God. Amen? Ah, if you can grab hold of that. And do I live that out perfectly? No, but I strive to. I strive to. And I serve a God. Boy, he's worthy of living out that phrase. So what are you doing for the Lord this evening? We're called to action. And let me tell you, why do we push so hard? Why are we into so many things? Why do we try to take advantage of so many opportunities? There's an urgency out there, people. There's an urgency to the gospel. Brother was sharing, our country's not in great shape. Not in great shape. We need to act fast, act now, and push forward for the cause of Christ. I was a youth pastor for a lot of years in Tampa, Florida. During that same time frame, I did a lot of ball coaching. I was a head baseball coach in high school. But I'd tell my players this: be humble, stay hungry, and always hustle. And I thought, I was talking to ball players when I used to say that a lot, but there's some spiritual application there. We got to be humble. It's not about us. Boy, it's about him. Amen. And on our best days, we fall short. We're as filthy rags. But stay hungry. Boy, I want to serve him. I want to please him. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's done for us, church. Boy, we serve somebody who's worthy of our service, our reasonable service. Amen. And always hustle. Don't give up. Get out there. Stay in the game. Amen. He calls us to participate, not just spectate. Amen. So get in the game. What are you doing for the Lord? And we all can do something. Listen, whether it's praying or whether it's getting active with outreach or doing something, sharing your faith, whatever it is, get out there and do it. Pray big prayers. Amen. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for how it challenges us, Lord, and it pushes us forward. We pray you've spoken to hearts. Lord, I pray you give courage to those here tonight that maybe need to make a move for you, to step out in faith, to move their faith forward, Lord. We know that your word says that we all matter and we all can make a difference. Lord, we claim great things for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, and amen. Now, I don't know, brother, if you do a verse of invitation.